The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. John, the 18th chapter, beginning with the 33rd verse. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest, dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our holy Creator, and Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We come to that point again once a year where we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, which is always a weird Sunday for me. And this is a sermon I think I've been preparing for the last few months, honestly. Christ the King Sunday. I kind of wonder what that invokes in you when you hear it. Christ the King. Why is it so important for us today to call Christ the King? Think about that in your mind for just a second. Why is that necessary? Why do we need to call Christ the King? Is it because for some reason we need to proclaim Jesus' sovereignty over the whole universe? Jesus is so powerful that we have to let everybody know Jesus is Lord of everything. Jesus is King of everything. Everything is subject under Jesus because Jesus is that big of a deal. Is it a shame thing? You know, the gospel says that if we are to say that we are ashamed of Christ, then Jesus will be ashamed of us in front of God. Is this a shame thing? Do we need to be able to stand up in public and say that Jesus is King and we're on his side? Christ the King Sunday is actually not that old of a holiday within the church calendar. It was started in 1925 by Pope Pius XI. And a couple different things were going on at this time. Pope Pius XI was battling against Italy over how powerful the Vatican was going to be. Additionally, this was a time when fascism and socialism and communism were coming up and having more influence. And so Pope Pius XI wanted to establish a holiday reminding all of these conflicting ideals and parties and entities that Jesus was Lord over everything. It wasn't a theological move on his part, but a political one. And that's why we celebrate Christ the King Sunday every year. Does that make you feel a little uncomfortable? Makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. But I'll tell you this, knowing that history, I still think it is absolutely vital, necessary, to celebrate Christ as the King at least once a year. And I'll tell you why. I want to read to you an excerpt from John Dominic Crossan, who is one of my favorite biblical scholars. And this comes from his book called God and Empire. And he writes this: "There was a human being in the first century who was called divine, Son of God, God, and God from God, whose titles were Lord, Redeemer, Liberator, and Savior of the world." Who was that person? Most people who know the Western tradition would probably answer, unless alerted by the question's too obviousness, Jesus of Nazareth. And most Christians probably think that those titles were originally created and uniquely applied to Christ. But before Jesus ever existed, all of those terms belonged to Caesar Augustus. To proclaim them of Jesus the Christ was thereby to deny them of Caesar the Augustus. Christians were not simply using ordinary titles applied to all sorts of people at that time, or even extraordinary titles applied to special people in the East. They were taking the identity of the Roman emperor and giving it to a Jewish peasant. Either that was a peculiar joke and a very low lampoon, or it was what the Romans called majestas and what we would call high treason. Two 2,000 years ago, to proclaim Jesus as Christ the King was to make an insanely radical, treasonous statement. It was to say that the emperor of Rome was invalid. It was to say that the emperor and everything that the emperor stood for was invalid. It was to say that all of the status and the wealth and the power that that person embodied was void. And instead, that title should be reserved for someone who has the opposite qualities of that person. That is what that meant back in the time of Jesus. It was also to take the reign of the Roman Empire and everything that it stood for and to say that that was invalid too. We are talking about a society here that had a very strict order of hierarchy, that there were a line of people who had certain benefits and everybody below them didn't. It was to highlight an environment where the Jewish people were living under occupation by a foreign empire, by a foreign power, and to say that that power actually had no power. By an oppressed people, to make that kind of a statement, folks, I don't think you understand how crazy this is, how radical this is. The Roman Empire was known for creating peace, and that was something that Caesar Augustus was particularly known for, but they had a term in Rome at this time that peace came through victory, which meant that Rome was going to go through all of its surrounding territories and conquer anybody who stood in its way. And once it had finally done that, then there would be peace. It was a society in a time where peace came through violence. And for people to say that Jesus was king was to repudiate all of that. And for the Jewish people to do that in a time when Rome was so powerful was absolutely insane. It really brings to light the importance of using terms like Christ the King, or Savior, or Messiah, or Son of God, titles reserved specifically for one person, the Caesar of Rome, but given to a poor Jewish peasant. Why this is important for us today. Last week we talked about how we need to look at Jesus back then to fully understand Jesus now, to understand who Jesus was back then, so that we can understand who Jesus is for us now. And the world has changed a lot in 2,000 years, hasn't it? But I'll tell you this right now, the values of this world from then to now have not changed so much. We are still a society that elevates power and status and wealth. We are still a society that lives with this crazy kind of line of hierarchy, where people who look a certain way, people who worship a certain way, people who have a certain amount of things, these are the people that we look at as having influence, the people who have influence over our own society, our own lives, our own world. We are still a country that seeks peace through violence and warfare. And we have taken Jesus and fit him neatly into these values. We take a world that looks very much like it did back in the time of Rome and somehow create this nice, neat little space where we can worship Jesus, where we can proclaim that Jesus is King, where we can erect monuments and statues and Ten Commandments and everything that Jesus stood for in this kingdom that Jesus wanted for the world. That just goes right out the door because we call Christ the King. And as long as we call Christ the King, as long as we proclaim it out loud, we don't have to think about what that kingdom might look like or our call as followers of Christ to make it so. So here's the thing. And I know we do this in our world. If you think that Christ is King, if that is a title for you that is important and that it is meaningful for you to say, to sing, to proclaim, if you genuinely believe that, then we need to know that this has very little to do with proclaiming it and everything to do with knowing who that man is that we call King. A man who went into the margins of society, who found those people at the bottom of that hierarchical list and elevated them and told them that they had worth and that God loved them. A man who refused peace through violence, but instead sought peace through love. A man who calls us into a way of life where we don't hold grudges against our brothers and sisters, but we seek forgiveness and reconciliation, the end. A world where we try to understand every single person who has been pushed to the margins of our society and try to bring them back in. If you are going to say that Christ is King, and I am so serious about this, and I'm going to hold you against this or up to this, if any of you are ever going to say that Christ is the King, you damn well better understand who you're talking about and what that means. Otherwise, don't use the term. Because to say Christ is King is to say something very radical, something very specific, and something that has a ton of meaning. Now, to say that Christ is King starts first with you. Christ is Lord, Christ as someone who has reign over this world and its powers, it starts understanding that man who has all of that power first and foremost absolutely loves you no matter what. That King, that man with power, that man has created a world with a space specifically for each and every one of you. A space that you are called into and invited into because of that love that he has for you. And you are, all of you, empowered by that love to be agents and go out into this world and proclaim that kingdom. Proclaim that kingdom of peace through love, of forgiveness and reconciliation, of inclusion, of caring for those who are in need. But it starts right here with you. Knowing how loved you truly are. I'm glad we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. I'm glad I get to talk about this today. I'm glad I get to lift up how amazingly crazy it is to say that Jesus is King. We need to always commit ourselves, though, to understanding what that really means. To understanding what kind of a kingdom that Jesus would have in this world. And then not just sitting around and waiting for it to happen, but understanding what it looks like and then going out there and making it so. Amen. Please stand as you are able.